You are now listening to a member of the Disney Podcast family. Head over to Disney Podcast Family on Instagram to see all the latest posts for this show and links to other great Disney podcasts.
Pay attention, it's Joe time.
I can't believe it.
Oh, Mike.
I was on TV!
Gentlemen, m'lady, you will always remember this as the day that you almost caught Captain Jack Sparrow.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mountain.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 95 of the Disney Universe Podcast. We are a bi-weekly podcast talking about everything in the vast universe of Disney, such as Pixar, Marvel, Lucasfilm, Muppets, ABC, 20th Century. Is it 20th Century? I don't know. And a whole lot more. I am one of your hosts, Joey, and with me is a very special guest right off the long, straight nowhere of I-5 back from Disneyland. The Big Smooth, Alex. What's up, man? Thanks for filling in. How you doing?
Ka-chow!
Ka-chow!
Ka-chow.
Episode 95. Wow.
That's right. I like that. That's a Ka-chow. Good one right there.
Yeah. Oh,
give me a jet ski.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Chow.
We'll just go down the rabbit hole.
Exactly. You know what? Quick little beginning of the show tangent. You know, watching Loki when it came out, and of course, you know, Owen Wilson was Mobius, and that was one of the first times of watching him, and I've been watching this movie for years, but like it really hit me like that he is Lightning McQueen. And it took me back to when I was a kid and the first time I ever saw, I forget what movie it was, either Field of Dreams or Three Fugitives of Nick Nolte and Martin Short. But the first time I saw James Earl Jones in a role other than voicing Darth Vader. And as a kid, I was just like mind blown, just, you know, and I just, so, I, you know, watching him, especially the scene where he's in the car with Salvi. I think that's her name. Anyways, which Lady movie? Loki.
Oh.
In Loki.
Okay. Yeah,
but when he's driving, I'm like, dude, this is Lightning McQueen. How many kids are just like
Sylvie? Oh,
Sylvie.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I heard Savvy and I'm like back at the two.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm kind of, you know, thinking about the whole James Earl Jones Darth Vader. I'm thinking, how many kids are watching this thinking, Lightning, you know, wow. So,
wow.
Anyways, yeah, but like I mentioned earlier, Alex is filling in. He's guest hosting. He started before they went to Disneyland, him and Addie, on our YouTube. And we are without Ryan and Christy. Ryan is actually photographing a wedding as we speak.
Ka-chow,
ka-ching, click. Who gets married on a Tuesday? Honestly.
I don't know.
Canadians, I guess.
It's cheaper.
I guess,
I
probably.
Assume as much.
And Christy is actually going to be taking a break for a little bit. She's got a very busy schedule. So I'm like, you know what? Let things kind of calm down where you're at. And whenever you're ready, whenever you got time, open mic anytime. So
we miss you, Christy.
Yes,
I miss hearing you on the show, and I look even more forward to hopefully seeing you in person on our September trip.
Yes, and more on that very soon. So thank you for filling in, sir. Like literally, him and Addie just got in like 30 minutes ago.
Walked right in just in time to record on my favorite podcast. See the Giants beat the Dodgers.
Ooh, yes.
This couldn't be much better of a day other than leaving Disneyland.
You know? Exactly. So the little things. But like you said, Alex will be giving us a trip report later on the show. And one of the things we're going to be talking about is actually the main thing we're going to be talking about is the brand new amazing docuseries on Disney Plus, Beyond the Attraction. So we'll be talking about that a little bit. But before that, let's get done with some business stuff. So. Oh, and I forgot to greet our new listeners and longtime listeners. So welcome to the show if you're new, and hope you like what we do. And we're just here to entertain you. We're not here to educate you. But like I said before, if you learn something, then we get that. Then that's a little bonus. And but we love our family that are always interacting with us. And I don't know. I'll pass this along to Alex if you want to remember where they could tell any of the new people where they can interact with us.
I'm going to spitball this just from following along on my own socials personally. So definitely make sure you're following at Disney Universe Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And that is on YouTube as well at Disney Universe TV, I believe.
Yes, it is.
And you can check out, become one of the cool kids in the Disney Universe. And that would be on Patreon. You can become a supporter, gets a little bit of bonus content. And that is patreon.com/DU crew. Become part of the crew of the DU.
Ah, that is perfect, sir. Thank you very much. And I want to shout out our special DU crew members. We got Mike. We got Superfan Sasquatch. Superfan Jennifer. Discord Apparel. Very cool shirts. You guys saw me sporting their Toycast shirt at Disneyland last time we were there.
A lot of cool mashups, I see.
Yeah, very, very cool. And also, so thank you guys. We couldn't do the show without you. We got a lot of plans. Seriously, I know we keep saying this, but a lot of stuff with the new logo, DU Crew logo that Christy designed, will be available very, very soon. So I'll kind of give you guys details on that. Also, we talked about apparel. Definitely check out our friends at NeverlandTrading.com. They do some awesome Disney shirts. The parks are now open. So if you want some cool-looking swag while you're at the parks, check them out. And when you hit checkout, you can type in the code DVERSE, and that's DVERSE. And you can get some awesome, awesome apparel. They got patches, stickers, and a bunch of stuff. And I actually just ordered, kind of going into our next little topic, I just ordered their Jungle Cruise map t-shirt. I was going to dress up in my skipper outfit that I wore at the last Adventureland day, but it's been hot here. It's going to be triple digits towards the end of the week again. So, you know what? I went to Neverland Trading, typed in that discount, and got a really cool shirt. And I'll be posting pictures when we're going to go see it.
You get the rush delivery?
I already got it. It's at my house.
Nice.
I got my skipper hat. So you guys will see it on our Instagram story on Thursday. This show will probably come out after we see it. So you'll see our reaction. But, you know, thank you for Neverland Trading for that awesome shirt. And speaking of Jungle Cruise, they just had the premiere, and you're pretty much there.
I don't like to brag, but when my buddy Dwayne invites me to the premiere of his new movie, I got to drop what I'm doing and make it my way down there. So we went down to Disneyland, and they had the premiere at Disneyland. We happened to be going that day, so it was just a double bonus. We didn't, you know, obviously we weren't celebrity guests or invited guests to watch the movie. But a cool little thing they did do, they had a kind of a goodie bag for people as they entered the park. Just had kind of like a piece of paper saying, you know, thank you for being here while this is going on. And maybe a little sorry for closing half the park down for half the evening. And a button that had the Jungle Cruise imaging, and it said world premiere at Disneyland. I think it has the date. I hope so. And then a bag of candy for watching the movie.
Nice. Yeah, it looked like, and you can still spot or watch the live feed, or they have a really cool video we posted on our Instagram of just a whole day's events. And so if you haven't seen, the premiere was at the Magical Map Fantasyland Theater. And but the red carpet started at the Jungle Cruise. Dwayne Johnson and Emily Blunt disembarked.
And a whole bunch of skippers.
And a whole bunch of skippers.
I did see skippers parading through the park all day. There was very a point cool. where we were eating at Refreshment Corner, Coke Corner. And there was a bunch of skippers. And I was trying my best Jungle Cruise joke for the moment. And either no one heard me, or it was one of the driest jokes in the river, I guess. But I said, the guy, the piano player at Coke Corner, he said, "Hey, here's a bunch of Jungle Cruise skippers." And as they're walking through, and I was like, "Skippers, you look like a bunch of walkers from here."
Heyo.
Heyo.
Very cool. Very cool.
I tried it twice, landed with no one. So
crickets. Very cool to hear that Coke Corner was open back up.
Yes, Coke Corner. I got my bacon mac and cheese hot dog. I'll talk all
about
food.
That's just a little preview, what we call in the podcast world.
But my parents were at the park this weekend. They definitely encountered some traffic from that premiere. And as Joe was saying, you can go through Disney Parks blog, Facebook page, or straight to their YouTube page. At least as of this recording, they still have the whole hour and a half red carpet from Jungle Cruise available to watch on their YouTube page, which I will be checking out as I was riding rides and I didn't see any of it.
Well, very cool. And so far, I know hardly the people that have seen it aren't really allowed to say anything about the movie other than if they liked it or not. And I've seen a lot of people really, really excited. And I should have shared it, but I forget who tweeted this out. But he basically said 2 years ago, Dwayne Johnson said that this movie is a combination of Indiana Jones, Romancing the Stone, and the African Queen. And then the guy's like, he was dead right. And he said, you're hooked from the first 10 minutes. Mm. So, and I'm excited. I cannot wait to see it. And so even Dwayne Johnson on it, he's social media king. He's been posting all the countdowns and everything. And I mean, he's posting a new like 30-second spot of just all the people kind of praising the movie so far. So super excited. I feel like we're going to get a series. And
a franchise, you mean?
A franchise.
Yeah, I think you've said in the past, but it does look like it's going to be the next Pirates of the Caribbean for them.
And the perfectly thing that you said that one of the tweets I also read was that some guy was again praising the film and was saying that this movie has filled a pirate sized hole in his heart for a Disney live action. So super excited. We're going to be there Thursday.
I know. And you saying that they're not really letting them say much gets me more excited
because yeah.
We are going pretty early on Thursday evening. So we only have to get through like 36 more hours without any sort of spoilers. It's rare you get to see any show or movie. The season finale of Loki blew my mind. They hid that pretty well.
Yeah.
But it's rare you get to be excited and shocked and taken back by things in this internet age.
Yeah, and especially have you watched The Assembled yet on Loki?
I have not. No.
Okay. Yeah.
They talk about that episode.
They talk about it and. For if you haven't seen it yet, I'm not going to spoil it, but for the big reveal, you know, you should have seen it by now, but if you haven't, the big reveal.
How long has it been? It's been like 2 weeks?
It's been a couple of weeks, but I still won't spoil it, but just in case, you never know. But like I said, the big reveal in the finale, that character did not do their filming until the last week of the show.
And I haven't watched this Assembled yet. And I don't want to get too
very
into
cool,
it.
Very cool.
But it doesn't look like he was even in the same room as the people he's talking against. So I question whether or not they even knew he was who they were talking to. You know?
Yeah. So it's a great Assembled. Check it out. They're keeping it up with they're very cool. And if you don't know what the Assembled is, it's the behind the scenes of WandaVision, Falcon, Winter Soldier, and now Loki. So
and if you have seen it, make sure you at me on Instagram at the Big Smooth. Because I'd love to talk about it.
Awesome. Very cool. And we're sticking with the jungle theme real quick. Like I said, we're not really doing news, but, you know, the Jungle Cruise is coming out. This is a movie that I've been geeking about for the last well over 3 years. I mean, the announcement at D23.
I remember everybody being scared. They're going to put The Rock in the ride. And I don't think we're actually going to get that because the Rock joke that they have is too good.
Yeah, exactly. It's right there. You know, we can't take that for granted either. So, hey. But anyways, so we're finally, that's why, you know, we're super excited. We're both excited. Alex got a very cool pair of ears, actually, if you want to talk about it, or if you want to save that for the trip report, your call.
Trip report.
Okay.
We'll trip report.
So we'll tease it there. But here in Sacramento recently, you guys know I do the Tiki Cast, and we had two Trader Sam skippers do a guest spot at my local Tiki Bar, the Jungle Bird. And this was supposed to happen last year, but didn't because of COVID. But one of the skippers was one of my past guests, Skipper Christian. He out of the 10 years Trader Sam's has been open, he's been there 9 of the years.
Woo.
So I had him on the show.
Christian has probably made me a drink.
Yeah, probably. And he will definitely when we go in September. But then
has he been called back to work, or were they just like, no? They're there. Day off?
Oh no, yeah, they already had it built, so he's been back at work.
No, but I mean, like when they were up here, it was just a day. Because I was down there, I was wondering if they were like they had not called everyone back yet or something.
Oh no, everybody's at Trader Sam's right now.
Well, that's good.
And so he was on my show. He was on my second Tiki Cast, but then we also did a recording with him recently with All Aboard. And that's going to be a collaboration episode with the Tiki Cast, which I have not put out yet because I was letting the All Aboard one marinate. But I got a couple other things I want to throw in, including what we're going to be doing this Saturday. Well, at least I will. They'll be doing a Jungle Bird Disney pop-up. And it actually started this evening, and your friend is there right now.
That's correct.
So he's been posting some cool pictures. So it's a Disney pop-up at the Tiki Bar. And I just kind of want to go over the menu because it is, like, super awesome. They have a special drink menu and a special food item menu. So, of course, importantly, the drink menu, this is awesome. They got one of the drinks is Elephant's Fly. This is Pusser's Rum, Peanut Butter Whiskey, Pineapple and Banana. So this is going to be kind of like a take on the Painkiller, which is a very popular tiki drink.
Painkiller has whiskey and banana?
It has a Pusser's Rum.
Okay.
But I hope I'm saying that right, but it's very tasty. It's one of my favorite tiki drinks.
I've definitely had a Painkiller before.
Yeah. So the next drink is Poor Unfortunate Slush, Gold Rum, Pineapple, Coconut Cream, and Ube?
I believe it's Ube.
Yes. Ube. In Summer is a drink you could get with a Kachaka coconut milk, passion fruit, and lime. I'm not going to get that because I'm not much of a coconut person, but we'll see. Buzzed Lightyear, Plata Tequila, Melon Liqueur, Lime Fire, Tincture, and Dole Whip. Did I say that right? Tincture?
Yeah.
One that me, you, and Addy were really excited about, the Splash Mountain Drop Shot.
Yayo.
With a Mountain Gay rum and pineapple liqueur dropped into a Track 7 Enchanted Tiki Whip.
Ooh, okay. I didn't see the Track 7 part before. When I first read it, I thought you were dropping it into a Dole Whip, and I was like, how's it going to drop through the ice cream?
So speaking of the Enchanted Track 7 Enchanted Whip.
This was a beer. I don't know if we got to talking about it on Fresh Hops.
Not yet.
But
no.
I definitely had seen it a couple weeks ago and wanted to check it out.
Yeah, so it's basically a double milkshake Indian Pale Ale with pineapple, vanilla, and lactose. And they're doing just the beer, so that's very cool.
Double milkshake IPA?
Yeah. Brings all the boys to the yard. And here's the food menu. This all sounds pretty amazing. So you got the Churros of the Caribbean with banana whipped cream. The Haunted Turkey Leg, smoked with rum maple glaze. I haven't been a turkey leg person in years, but that sounds pretty amazing. The Bengal Beef Skewers, marinated in sweet Zulu sauce. Sorry.
I'll keep talking about trip stuff. I got it for later.
The Mini Corn Dogs, which is this is going to be Space Mountain themed because that's what the logo looks like. So with ketchup and Dijon mustard. And, of course, their famous Dole Whip Float. So this is a Dole Whip with Pog juice?
That sounds really good.
Yeah, and the picture looks like the Matterhorn. Jungle Bird has the Maiden Voyage, which is pretty much an alcoholic Dole Whip anyway. So.
I'm hoping they can do that with alcohol in it as well.
Yeah.
I'll be having one of those.
So I will be there this Saturday, probably when the show will be dropping.
We're hoping to go on Thursday after the movie.
We're going to try.
Yeah.
Depends. I got to work on Friday.
Yes.
And so we'll see, but at least Addy and Alex might try it.
Yes, no, we're trying to go because we won't be in town on Saturday. And I think it runs till Saturday?
Sunday, I think it's the last day. The first, so.
Okay.
But yeah, if you're in the Sacramento area, definitely check it out. Definitely got to make a reservation because the Google reservations was filled, but I had to do it on Open Table. And I was only able to get to four people. Because I had a bigger group planned on going, but we'll see what happens. But, of course, you can always go up to the bar and get that right away, too. So,
yeah, so they're not doing walk-ins at all?
They are. It just takes a while.
Yeah, it's a longer way.
So, yeah. Okay. But you can still order your drinks at the bar.
Got it.
So, yeah, check that out. But, yeah, let's get on with our main topic, talking about Beyond the Attraction.
Remain seated, please.
Permanecer sentado, por favor.
So one of my favorite things about Disney Plus, other than The Mandalorian and the awesome Marvel shows, is the amazing documentaries they've been doing, from the Imagineering story to the Gallery series from Star Wars, T-Assembled, like we mentioned earlier. Now they got they came out with something we were all very excited about, Beyond the Attraction, and so far it has lived up. I know they mentioned that there's going to be 10 episodes, all dropping at once, but they only dropped 5, which I'm okay with, because it makes me wanting more, and I know we're going to get more really soon.
If so. I hadn't just come back from Disneyland, I'd probably be a little more irritated. But I'm just, the way that they released it and said season 1 leads me to believe we're not going to see the other 5 episodes for like 6 months to a year, which is a little too long, especially already knowing we're getting them and knowing what they are. I went behind the attractions. I went in front of the attractions, whatever, Disney, give it to me. I appreciate it all.
We want it now.
Yes.
We want it.
We wants the second season.
Yeah. So, I think we're going to get it sooner, but you know, nothing's about that.
Who knows? It could come out tomorrow.
It could, or maybe in August, you know?
I think this one came out last Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
So maybe they just drop them like episodes weekly. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. But so we got the Jungle Cruise, Haunted Mansion, Star Tours, Twilight Zone, Tower of Terror, and Space Mountain. So I guess we'll just go from attraction to attraction. And one thing I forgot to mention that this was produced by Dwayne, The Rock.
The Rock. You call him The Rock. I call him Dwayne. No, I call him The Rock, too.
What up, DJ?
Hey.
I call him future Disney legend, the way everything is going headed.
I thought he had it sewn up already.
But, yes, maybe next D23, we'll find out. So.
And not that he's done anything crazy great, but he's just, you know, that's kind of how it is. Once you do 2 things and they like you and you're popular.
Well, he's done the game plan.
And he was Maui.
He was Maui, and now Jungle Cruise, which is going to be, like we said, a franchise. We're guessing.
When he announced the Jungle Cruise, he posted that picture standing in front of the Lost Weekend mm-hmm. image, and that made me jealous. I think I was a little salty after that, and that's when all the talk was, oh, they're going to put him in the ride and ruin it, and da da da. But I've always been a fan of what he does. You know, I'm a big wrestling fan, both growing up and somewhat currently. Don't hate me. I'm excited. I'm stoked. I mean, we're sitting on the precipice of the film, but yes. It's cool to see him, involved in this other, project that is not just the Jungle Cruise, but a little bit of reverence and excitement for, all Disney attractions, past, present, and future, as we saw with the way they've, done the episode so far.
Yeah. And I really like how it's, like I said, the Imagineering story, I kind of starting off with that, was amazing. I'm rewatching it right now on the last one, but I like how this has just a different, fun vibe to it from the narrator, which at times was like, okay, she's a little much, but then at other times it was really good. So starting with the Jungle Cruise.
That's Padgett Brewster as the narrator. I had to, with all the Disney documentaries so far, it's been super famous. And I was like, who is this?
Yeah.
I think Addie recognized her from Criminal Minds, or she was on some show like that. And I guess she had a role in Friends for a little bit.
Well, she's got a great voice. Great. You know, she could be on a podcast. She'd be a great podcast
voice.
She
would be a great podcast voice. Padgett, if you're listening.
Yes.
Come on to the DU.
Please. We'd love to hear you not narrate about the Jungle Cruise. And so was there any what stuck out to you?
Well, I think when we first talked about it, I said it was like a Jungle Cruise-esque version of Imagineering story.
Yeah.
A lot of dad jokes, gags, just a fun way that they put it with, you know, kind of Photoshop style. Not really Photoshop style, but like animation. You know, moving,
pop-up video in
pop-up
a way.
Video, yeah, just a lot of cool, almost an Imagineering story to appeal to a younger audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I'm glad that I figured they're going to start with this episode because they really did plug the Jungle Cruise movie.
Episode one was a commercial.
Yes, definitely, definitely. No, but yeah, this is one of my favorite attractions, no secret. And I knew a lot about the history of this attraction, but there are so many things that that surprised me that I really enjoyed. And you brought up one of them, and that was the orange trees.
The orange tree one that, yes. So I know I had heard in the past, I think Alice Davis tells a little bit in the Imagineering story or possibly something else I saw about how they had orange trees planted in the Jungle Cruise. And so they had cast members have to come and pick the oranges because there were no orange trees in the jungle, but they wanted the trees there for foliage back when they first had the ride. But the thing I didn't know about the orange trees, as they said in the episode, they had planted orange trees upside down in the river to give the look of kind of an exotic tree that you would find along the river with the water going through and the roots exposed. So that was cool. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I don't know that that still exists that way, but at least from the older original Jungle Cruise photos, it looked like that.
Yeah. And that was super cool. And I knew about the family tree, the giant tree that you can see from the back.
The Dominguez tree.
The Dominguez tree.
We said hello to the Dominguez tree.
Yeah, and I mean, I've heard about it, but I always forget about where to look for it. So I like how they kind of mentioned, you know, hey, if you just look a little to the right.
It's the only tall palm tree. It's thick, too.
Yeah.
It looks like it's eaten well, and it's set in there in Adventureland. But, yeah, it's the only palm tree above a bunch of other trees, probably the tallest tree out there in the area. But what was he said that it was a wedding gift to his parents.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And I did not know that Ron Dominguez, who is a Disney legend, I believe,
yes,
or has a window maybe, but he ended up working for Disney Imagineering, started as a Jungle Cruise skipper or worked as a Jungle Cruise skipper at one point. I enjoyed the talks about Harper Goff. I've always been really into Disney's attention to detail and the Imagineering aspect and Imagineering. So I Addie, my girlfriend, would tell you, I put that on when I go to sleep. I watch it a lot. So just that sort of background on the attractions is really cool for me. And so learning a little bit more about Harper Goff in this episode, the story about how he, when they were building Disneyland, he goes down and with a stick draws the entire left side of the riverbank for the ride and then walks 12 feet across and draws the entire right side of the riverbank and then tells the bulldozer to bulldoze right there.
That's crazy how they did that. Yeah. And then, I mean, one thing I knew about too, or didn't know about, was you mentioned the amount of detail that Walt had with his attraction, that it was the one of the ones that they started on first because they knew it was going to take the longest to get run the...
Yeah, having to plant the plants the year before. Plant the plants the year before?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I just love seeing that old footage, especially just... And just how they drive the truck through.
Yeah, the old station wagon. For a Rambler station
old Rambler.
Wagon. Yeah.
So, I knew that Mark, because I knew it started off as a true adventure, more serious tone. And I always heard about, like, Mark Davis came and added, you know, humor to it. But I've always heard that. They mentioned it briefly in Imagineering story, but they really dug deep into exactly how much Mark Davis threw in, not just with the humor, like the jokes and the story, but him sketching out the gorilla camp, the
rhinoceros.
Yeah. Which did you ride the attraction? Do you see the new stuff?
We did. Unfortunately, it was the last ride of the night last night. So it was dark. And as I had heard previously, the lighting is not very good on everything at night. And something that I guess was always an issue, but I didn't really notice it until last night, is, you know, being that you sit on one side or the other, at least I felt like I was missing all the new stuff. It was behind me. If you are the skipper facing the boat, I was on the left side at the front by the skipper, and I was having neck issues after just, you know, the 4.5, 5 minute long ride. So,
yeah.
Try and sit on the right side, or I don't know if that's starboard, port, whatever. I want to go back during the day. I did see the rhinoceros. I mean, it's different, but it doesn't change the gag or anything.
Yeah,
it's still good.
It looks cool.
The continuous story is I enjoy that there's kind of a theme. If you actually can get the time and chance to go around through the queue, they added a lot of little, not Easter eggs, but details about each of the characters who are on this expedition going through that get lost. There's different pieces of the boat. So it's good. Shown in the episode, it's the skipper that makes the jungle cruise and they're still doing the same thing.
Cool. Cool.
And I guess that might be the one thing I thought was interesting, being that this, you know, had just happened in the movie, there was little to no mention of the, ride changing. And I thought that was a little weird, although it may be that it was kind of a last minute, like, I don't know when they started this refurb, but it seems like it could have been pretty quick.
Yeah, I know the narrator mentioned it briefly, but she didn't get into detail.
No.
So.
But she mentioned that out-of-date things were changed, but she didn't mention... I guess she didn't... It's just weird that it came out here in July, and, you know, in this day and age, you figured there would have been time to put a couple, even images of any of the new stuff.
Concept art, yeah. At least.
So. Anything.
Yeah. Oh, well. But no, it was really enjoyable. I loved how they highlighted different skippers, and even they had what looked like home videos of, you know, different decades.
When
of
the, skippers, the skippers around the world as well.
Yeah, that was really cool how they had that. Like, because I've heard, I've had a former skipper on my Tiki Cast, and he talked about how there is like that little fraternity of Jungle Cruise skippers, and so super cool, super cool.
Yeah. I want you guys to watch it.
Exactly. I want to watch it again.
Yes, we will be watching it again.
Yeah. And one thing I want to kind of mention real quick as we go into the next attraction is for one of the refurbs, one thing I saw, because I'm really big, you guys know, on the whole SEA, the Society of Explorers and Adventurers. So it looked like they added a bunch of little Easter eggs for the society, including as you exit the boats, they always had some crates. And one of the crates... had the seal of the SEA, and it said something about, I'm not sure if it's a right attraction or not, but somebody posted on it, but it says like ship to Mystic Manor.
Oh, nice.
And something, which kind of goes to our next attraction, which is actually the Haunted Mansion, but they kind of go through the different haunted mansions around the world, which we'll get to Mystic Manor in a little bit, but obviously this one starts with the original in Disneyland. And, you know, nothing that's really hasn't been not known before, but just how they dig deeper into some of the stories. And is there anything that really stuck out to you on just the creation?
I mean, I think for me, it was just I had known we went the summer of the 50th anniversary of the Haunted Mansion. I actually was sporting my 50th anniversary Haunted Mansion ears yesterday for the first time in the park. So that was awesome. And that was in 2019, and they did a cool little gallery in the, I don't know, is it the gallery or just in the Opera House? Thank you.
Yeah.
The Opera House in the front of Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, and it was art and maquettes and all these things that were, you know, concept or actual things that ended up being in the Haunted Mansion. And it mentions a pretty long list of Imagineers who were part of making it come to be, the ones, and you learn a lot more in detail in the episode, but Exitencio, Xavier Atencio, Ken Anderson, Claude Coates, Yale Gracie, Mark Davis, and learning the detail that each one was responsible for as a fan of the Imagineers and Imagineering was really cool for me. I had Foolish Mortal Supply Co.
Yes.
I got a sweatshirt from them.
Shout out.
With the line, your cadaverous pallor betrays an aura of foreboding on the back. And I love the part in Imagineering story where I'm blanking on the other Imagineer's name, but he talks about, he's like, how did you even come up with that line? And it's just the vernacular is very, very 5-point words all around for Existencia. So just hearing what each of them brought to the table, and then the fact that that portion of the original Haunted Mansion was only the first half of it. And then they get into all the different Haunted Mansions, the detail, the backstory, all around the world, I forget the specific name for it, but it was kind of like a Atlantic Gothic, I believe they said.
Yeah, and that was the one in Florida. And
because it's set in Liberty Square, so they had to come up with something that fit the location of the land. I mean, these Imagineers are on every detail.
Yeah, and then, for it. And they when they did, was it Hong Kong or Tokyo? One of those, but...
I think Tokyo is the one that's right in between It's a Small World and Splash Mountain.
Yeah, yeah. They put it in Fantasyland. Then
Hong Kong is the one with Mystic Manor.
Yeah.
And then we had Paris is Phantom Manor.
Yes. And so the Mystic Manor was super cool because, they mentioned Imagineering Store, and they kind of dug deeper into this. But, you know, they're in Hong Kong?
Yes.
Like the way they react to the dead, you know, is totally different than here in the States and even in Paris. So that's why they didn't really want to do a haunted mansion, but they did kind of like I think it's more of a little bit of the, not really haunted mansion, but more of the a modern take of the Museum of the Weird that Rolly Crump originally kind of.
Yeah, kind of a Paranormal Activity, not like the movie, but like, I don't know, just the idea of, do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah.
Or just weird occurrences, if you will. But yes, it's not specifically have anything to do with the dead or anything like that, because it didn't go, they don't see it the same in that culture. And that's why they did not build one in Shanghai at all.
Yeah, exactly. But man.
And it's one of the newer rides too. So
yeah, it is.
Of course, you have I think we see about it in Imagineering Story as well. I mean, trackless ride vehicles, got the Danny Elfman score.
Yeah, that is so awesome. Yeah. Which his portrait is actually, I talked about this in the SEA story, but he's a SEA member. He's Maestro D. Elfman or something. Nice. And his portrait is somewhere in the queue or the attraction.
Okay.
But no, that looked really cool. And even the story of the one in Paris, how it is a bride, but it's a totally different story of the bride, but you kind of follow her along a little bit more. But
and we were both just saying how much we want to see that one, because the imagery, I mean, I'm sure you could go on YouTube and find a ride through, but I didn't, because they talk about how it's in Frontierland, and so it has this Old West kind of ghost town backstory. And some of the animatronics in there look downright freaky.
Yeah, they do. They do. But I like how that's kind of tied in with even like Big Thunder Mountain a little bit in Paris.
And Western River Expedition.
But I love the way that, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love the way that this particular episode starts. It starts with, you hear a voice recording of Paul Frees recording for the Ghost Host. So you hear his regular voice like, so how do you want me to do it like this? Okay, welcome. And he goes, I mean, from Paul Frees to the Ghost Host without, I mean, I love voice actors. And being a Disney and Star Wars fan, you really have a deep appreciation for the voice acting in these, even like at the park. And so even though it was like a little 30-second bit.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's probably some Haunted Mansion video or audio somewhere that has that in it.
Yeah.
But hearing that for the first time geeked me out, because you wouldn't expect to get that sort of behind the scenes stuff from something from the 60s.
Exactly.
So that was cool. It was like you're in the booth. I mean, you might as well have been watching a video, because you never see him anyway. So as fans of the ride, it was like you were watching him do it, because you're so familiar with that voice.
Yeah, I want to move on to Star Tours. Like I said, there's really, as you know, a lot of big Disney fans, there's really not much more that they added to the attraction. I mean, there is, but I mean, just watch it. It's awesome. But one thing that got me is, and this got me, I know we're talking about Beyond the Attraction, but this part got me in Imagineering Story too. But one thing that really tugs on the feels is when I see old gruff men in tears. And so in the Imaginarian story, when you see Bob Gurr in tears and Rolly Crump and Marty Sklar, you know, after Walt passed, they do it again to you in this one.
Oh, yeah.
After Walt passed, and it goes to Rolly Crump. And if you know his history, you know he's just, he's a wise ass. He's a rebel. He's a rogue.
And I'm going to say this for everyone out there. He is a good looking man.
Yes, he is.
I noticed that from this episode. They were showing the picture of him with the mustache.
Yeah.
He's almost like Joe Rohde 1.0.
Nice call. No, yeah. Totally. But when he's talking about, you know, after Walt passed and he never met Roy, and then and Roy comes up to him and he's like, "You're Rolly, right?" And he's like, "My brother talked about you all the time." And then he breaks down and I'm like, "Oh my God, I'm breaking down too." So I'm almost breaking down right now just thinking about it. But
just here in the, as you said, the emotions of these guys, of these moments and people,
yeah,
from something that happened over 50 years
exactly
ago, you know.
And I've heard so many,
just makes you feel a lot closer to it.
Exactly. And there's so few people left that can tell Walt stories. And so every time I get a chance to hear somebody like, you know, Margaret Carey, Rolly Crump, Floyd Norman, these people that worked with Walt, you know, and talking about how great of a person he really was, you know, it just really tugs at it. And how, like you said, over 50, 60, you know, 50 years ago, and they're still like he just passed away just like recently. I mean,
Rolly Crump did?
No. Oh. No, like Walt. They've been, you
sorry,
know,
sorry.
Walt, Walt,
false alarm, people.
Walt's been gone for so long, but you know, they still, when they talk, they still break down. So, yeah.
I found something I'm kind of coveting, and I think I'm gonna go and click buy on it tomorrow. But it's an autographed Rolly Crump poster, and I'll tell you more about it next time. You guys will check out my Instagram. I'm sure I'll post a picture when I get it. But
stay tuned.
I say the same thing. I geek out on the Imagineers and especially the guys, as you said, who actually had contact with Walt. So I want to start collecting and getting those things. And if I ever get a chance, you know, I'm going to try and come to D23 with you next year to meet any of these guys. Actually, at one point I met a kid in line. I think it was for the first time we rode Guardians of the Galaxy, and we were, you know, waiting 2 hours. So we're talking to this kid and his mom. He must have been 12 years old, and he was such a big Marty Sklar fan.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sorry, doesn't get happier, but sadly Marty Sklar passed away. And this kid had tickets to like a talk with him at the Disney Museum that didn't end up happening. I was so encouraged by this 12-year-old kid who was into this. I didn't get their name or anything, just a sort of friendly passing you have with other Disney fans at the parks. Got good hope for the next generation.
That's good. I'm happy to hear. And I missed out on Marty Sklar recently. Not recently, but like he had a book signing here in Sacramento. Very, very close to when he passed. And I wasn't able to go. Then he passed. I'm like, oh. So rough stuff. But
rough stuff. But we appreciate everything they gave us. And if you get an opportunity, folks, take it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the third attraction we got was Star Tours.
Pew, pew.
And I saw a lot of stuff. I thought I knew a lot of things about this attraction. And not as much as I thought. And I mean, I totally did not know about the Star Wars ballet thing that happened before.
I had seen.
I've heard of it.
Video image. What I had heard about it. Maybe I saw the video of the full opening or something, but it was weird. And I think it's kind of one of those things like the Star Wars holiday special that George Lucas didn't like to talk about. It kind of got buried for a while. So seeing the video of that in there was really cool. I didn't know how big a role Tom Fitzgerald was on that ride.
Yeah.
And knowing that, it was cool because in Imagineering story, you see Tom Fitzgerald, and I saw a lot of Imagineers who I hadn't really heard of before. And this is cool because this show, you actually do get a little bit named a face, if you will, with the Imagineers and the rides that they played a big part in. I am blanking, and I know we're going backwards. But the younger Imagineer who helped bring the Hatbox Ghost to life, who is a big Yale Gracie fan.
Yeah, that Yale Gracie was his Michael Jordan, yes. Basically.
But that sort of thing. So learning Tom Fitzgerald's role and hearing the story about him and Tony Baxter flying to London to ride the flight simulator, basically, to see if it could do what they wanted to do. And Tony Baxter saying, we took a bunch of Dramamine and we got on that thing. And we made it off. We lived.
They're like, can you do that, but faster and more? Yeah. Sure. Then it broke.
Yeah. They said we broke the thing, I think.
And even seeing the footage of George Lucas talking about Disney years before they even started talking about Star Tours.
Yes. And the point which they start the episode off with, George Lucas attended Disneyland the second day it was open, which is a cool trivia fact or something. But I thought that was awesome. He said, I was there the second day, and I was like, whoa.
So it makes sense that Disney bought Lucasfilm. But yeah, just that footage of him saying, like, you know, that they needed something better in Tomorrowland. Because Tomorrowland was kind of hurting at the time for the second time, and its existence, I guess. It was getting dated really quick, which was, you know, has been the big
That's
issue.
The Tomorrowland problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Tomorrow always comes.
But, you know, finally.
And it becomes yesterday.
Exactly. But finally, you know, once they get to the part of.
You know the answer, attraction. Though. If you just bring back the People Mover, nobody's going to say anything about tomorrow becoming yesterday. Give us the People Mover. We'll be happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep it old. Do whatever. Don't even do anything else to it. Just bring the People Mover. We won't complain.
And just add the old Tron room. You don't even got to do Tron Legacy.
Yes,
just the old Tron.
The old Tron hallway.
Yeah, exactly. No, but one thing that's really cool, and I didn't really know about this, though, but just how much Lucasfilm, you know, when they're doing the filming, and then they're like, oh, well, you know, it's got to be one continuous shot. It's an attraction. And so how they're literally kind of like coming up with a story as they're working on the limitations of the ride. And one thing I never got before, but was how it that I thought was really cool, is when they needed to reset it. The perfect thing was, oh, well, we'll just have it go in a tractor beam. And so when you're in the tractor beam, that's when the
flashes for the splicing.
Yeah, so
that's just good cinematography.
Exactly, yeah. And then of course, you know, to talk about Rex and Pee Wee Herman or Paul Reubens, sorry, but. I remember, too, then, you know, of course, they break down to the original and how George Lucas way back then even talked about there's going to be stories would change. But the attraction was so popular that they're like, well, we'll just keep it the way it is. But then when the sequels or prequels came out, they're like, oh, now we can do it. But.
Well, and that's what's it's crazy because they talk about when the prequels started coming out, which was what, 98, 99?
Yeah, 99 was the first one.
And we didn't get Adventures Continue till 2007?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I don't even think we heard about it until maybe 2005. It wasn't a long time before. So that means they were, because we learn, you know, basically episode one comes out and they're like, cool, you know, we can do this. And then they're like, well, what about episode two?
Yeah.
And then the episode, well, what about episode three? And so it was almost like, they were sitting on this idea for 5 years just because they didn't know how much longer it was going to go. And it is so cool. They didn't really go into it in the episode, but that, you know, we get Adventures Continue with all these different things. And that on the fly, as they're coming out with episodes 7, 8, and 9, they were basically able to have new scenes in the day the movies premiered in theaters, which yeah. is awesome.
And that it was actually George's idea too, with the Rebel Spy.
Yes.
So he's definitely a storyteller. So, but it was cool how one thing about this, like it did with the Haunted Mansion, that it kind of transitioned from not just Star Tours, but like, you know, Disney purchasing Lucasfilm, wanting to do the land. So how Star Tours was a flight simulator, then how they kind of go with the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, mm-hmm. which is the futuristic version of the flight simulator. But seeing how I've seen pictures on how they do the ride system, mm-hmm. but actually seeing the video how they do the Carousel of Progress. They combine the Carousel of Progress and Star Tours
yeah.
to make Smuggler's Run.
Yeah, I would have never thought of the Carousel of Progress because I think I don't know if they show a little bit of it in Imagineering Story, but and being that I was just there on it yesterday, you can kind of see as you're walking through where the two turntables are,
yeah,
with the color groups, how they do it. But yeah, that ride, I mean, you're standing in that line and it keeps moving the whole time. It doesn't really stop. So
yeah, very cool.
Good on them for figuring that out and making it the way it was. I couldn't imagine if it was one cockpit or two cockpits.
Well, and then one thing we kept hearing about was like, oh, the video's not working and that's why, you know, it's not going to come out. Then we kind of find out what it wasn't that it wasn't working. It's just the game engine technology just wasn't caught up to what they were supposed to do until it finally.
And this, I got to say, is one of my favorite things about Imagineering. And one of the things I said when Tower of Terror changed over to Guardians of the Galaxy, which we'll get to in a second, obviously, is that I always trust in Imagineering because they're going to have the most money at their disposal. They have the best technology, and they're basically thinking up ideas that aren't even possible yet.
Yeah.
And making them possible. They're inventing, they're making new things. So with this ride, Smuggler's Run, they were basically waiting for the game engine technology to catch up with their idea, which it finally did, luckily. And I think that kind of, if we ever do see that e-ticket attraction in Avengers Campus, the whole Wakanda Quinjet battle, from the concept art, it looks like something with technology of which we do not possess yet.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing that just gets me excited about what they're doing.
And to me, they really haven't dropped the ball once they open Cars Land. I've said that before, and like everything after Cars Land has been home run after home run.
When you have those knocks on Smuggler's Run, like it wasn't the ride to carry the land, and we knew that wasn't the e-ticket.
Yeah.
And we're getting those knocks with Web Slingers now over in Avengers Campus, and from the jump, we knew that's not the e-ticket. So for what it is, appreciate it
exactly.
For what it is. You shouldn't be putting everything up against other rides.
Yeah.
I guess you have to put things up against other rides, but just appreciate it for what it is, especially when you know the intention from the beginning is not for that to be the one to blow you away.
Yeah, exactly. They really dug deep into Galaxy's Edge. So I don't know. I'll kind of go into the next one. But like I said, I really enjoyed this episode. I've enjoyed the three that we got up to this point. Tower of Terror continued the same thing. Hearing the story about that, how that got going in Florida, was super awesome. Because I remember hearing that they're going to do a Twilight Zone hotel ride. Then I saw videos of it. I'm like, oh, that looks cool. You know, and then never really thought about it because I hadn't been to Florida yet at that time, and never really thought I'd get there. You know, I was still pretty young. But then, once we got word that it was coming to Disneyland here in California, because that was like one of the first big additions or plusing after the park was failing. And it proved to be a huge success and fit perfectly, even especially when they did the redo of Buena Vista Street, how it tied in perfectly with Carthay and everything. But no, the seeing the science of this attraction still blows my mind. It is so crazy how they came up with it.
Yes, I miss Twilight Zone. I'll admit I was a little in and out of this episode, but only because I knew I'd be watching it a million times over going on. But it looked like there was even a part where they showed how they replicated Rod Serling for the intro. So that's cool. I'm looking forward to check that part out on the rewatch. And then as with the previous episode, going into all the towers around the world and their different slight backstories. I believe, where else do we have one?
DisneySea.
Tokyo DisneySea.
And that's the big one that really, really dives deep in with the SEA history.
Is that the Hightower?
Hightower, yes. Which is Joe Rohde. A lot of people are saying.
That's right. And they were talking, he says some word in it I don't remember, and you guys have all either watched it and are yelling at me the word, or you haven't watched it and you can go watch it and hear it. But basically, he was supposed to pose for one specific thing, like a statue on the side of the building, a facial statue, and they ended up using...
Oh, the beard.
Yes.
Or something like that.
And they used his image all over the thing. It's in pictures, in paintings, in the... It's hilarious. And the way he talked about it, just like, you know, it was just supposed to be a thing for one thing, and they put it everywhere.
I can listen to Joe Rohde talk for hours.
Yes.
About just whatever. You know? I mean, just the passion this guy has in his... the projects he works on, but no, that one looks really cool. I think Paris also, right?
Yeah, Paris has a tower.
Yeah, I think they have the biggest one, I think. No. Theirs is identical to Disneyland's.
Or Disneyland's was, because obviously now it's Guardians.
Yeah, so the way Disneyland was. One thing that was, they didn't mention, I was kind of hoping they would, but... after they, you know, the popularity of the one in Florida, the original, they were supposed to build a bar inside, but that never happened.
I had heard you mention that before. Hadn't heard it. And as someone who still hopes to go to Disneyland or Disney World in the next couple of years, I hope it's still on the table.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially with the theming, I would assume it'd be kind of like the Carthay Lounge, but maybe with a little more in character of the time frame. Yeah. With the bartenders and such.
They got to do
like if the Carthay Lounge and Oga's merged.
And with a little bit of the Shining, you know?
Yeah.
One thing that that cracks me up every time, though, is when they're trying to figure out the ride system. And so they go to the elevator company, mm-hmm. and they're like, so basically you guys are asking us to, everything we're trying to prevent, you want us to.
Yeah. You want us to do what we're supposed to do.
We're trying not to drop.
We don't want to drop people. The big thing I learned, or I guess that caught me, was with the Guardians Mission Breakout iteration. Each song has a different visual package with it.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm too busy enjoying the up and down of it. And I know I've seen different things, but I guess I didn't make the correlation that they went with different songs.
Yeah, and so I think like
there's six.
There's the same beginning and the same end, but everything in the middle is different.
Okay,
and because you have a different drop sequence for every song, so you're getting a different drop sequence and video. But watching how they do the video was really cool because. There's parts on the ride where it kind of bounces between the scenes.
But he was saying that they can't reprogram it. Like that they couldn't reprogram the drops, but they reprogrammed the timing or something.
Something weird
so,
like that.
So instead of, you know, just pulling you up and down, it lets you sit more at the top. And that's, as they describe it, you're turning, to,
pretty.
Yay!
But I like how they kind of got to that, but it's funny that they didn't mention, because, I mean, we knew it was coming after, but that when switching over to the Guardians, that there was nowhere announced that, well, you know, this is going to be part of an Avengers land. You know, it totally makes sense because I remember when it opened up as a Mission Breakout, there was this little hubcap thing in like a garden to the side of it,
yes,
which
the
had
right,
the
leading over to Bug's Land.
Yeah, and it's basically like a cover, like a manhole, but it had the Avengers logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
And all that was said was like, oh, this is just a of what's to come.
Yeah. and that was before they even announced it.
Yeah, that was like a good year. Yeah. Yeah, about a good
year. It was there when they had the ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, it's funny. There's been no explanation for the goop that's in front of
exactly
now yet either. So.
Yeah. So, which looks cool though.
It does look
cool.
If
you haven't seen it, like what Alex is talking about is Mission Breakout is apparently leaking some kind of oil or slime.
Something. it was cool. The cast members, when we were walking up were like pretending to try and clean it up with a broom and dustpan.
Oh no, that was a really cool one though too, of course. I mean, just the stories we get from the international, Towers of Terror and everything. The final one we got was Space Mountain, and this was really cool because I knew that Walt always wanted to do like a space roller coaster, but never got around to it. And just seeing the original sketches, I always noticed that there was that track sticking out a little
bit. The outside?
Yeah. But I never paid no never mind to it. Then One thing that I've always said, because Ryan loves Space Mountain in Florida, that he likes it. He said he liked it better than Disneyland. But I was like, I don't know. It just seemed too much like Matterhorn to me. And they kind of mentioned it's the same track as Matterhorn, basically.
Well, and it was the first one, too. Yeah. So,
exactly.
75? Right.
Yeah, I think it was like 2 years before.
And Disneyland was 77.
Yeah.
So.
And they didn't have the room, so they just did it with one track. But they were clever. The Imagineers, super smart. They're like, well, we can't have as many people ride this because we only have one track. Well, more people can fit on the train than one at Disneyland.
Yeah,
so
just make it wider.
Exactly. Yeah. So just problem solved.
Yes. Yeah, that was a good one. They again go through all the space mountains around the world. And my favorite, another one, we'll have to make the trip to Paris for I guess it's just Space Mountain now, but the 1.0 was really heavily themed towards the Jules Verne From the Earth to the Moon, and how they shoot you out of the cannon. I believe that feature still works.
Yeah.
But another Tom Fitzgerald, he worked on that one. The design is the most different of any of the Space Mountains, at least the exterior mm-hmm. of it. And yeah, it's just really cool to see the differences between the rides around the world, yet how one begat the next. I believe Hong Kong is a cookie cutter at Disneyland.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just real cool, fun show. As we said in the beginning, very similar to Imagineering Story, but almost more in depth, giving you more background with the Imagineers and what they're personally responsible for on each ride. For a fanboy of Imagineers, as myself, and if you are, it's a great show.
Yeah. And,
and I want the second season now.
Exactly. And going back to Paris real quick before we end this part of the
Do you remember the ones in the second season?
I know Big Thunder Mountain.
I'm pretty sure we get Lincoln, the monorail.
Well, and Lincoln will be Hall of Presidents and Lincoln.
Right. The Contemporary Resort is one of them. I'm really excited for that because I think it's Imagineering Story shows how they basically lowered each room into the building, which is cool. I don't
Legos.
Know. Any, yeah, Legos. It's a Lego hotel. And that's on my list of resorts I'd like to stay at when I go to Florida.
Yeah. I think Big Thunder Mountain.
That would be a great one. We'll hear some more about the Western River Expedition then.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm guessing Cars Land because you got Test
and
Track.
They kind of show images in the intro for the show too.
But real quick, it kind of throws me off that in Paris, like the Jules Verne, H.G. Wells Tomorrowland completely worked, but when they did that at the 98 Tomorrowland at Disneyland, kind of failed because they painted Space Mountain kind of like a copper color for a couple years, rocket rods, everything was that that steampunk look, but it just didn't fit at Walt's Park. One thing that was really cool, though, that they did is they kind of showed the...
Okay. So I got it, the episode guide right here.
Okay.
And even though they haven't dropped them, we know that episode 6 is the castles.
Nice.
Episode 7 is a Disneyland hotel. Episode 8, it's a small world.
I want to love the Disneyland hotel.
Episode 9, trains, trams, and monorails. And episode 10, Hall of Presidents.
Cool.
At least according to IMDb. I know I'd read an article that said they put out the 10 episodes, which is why I was so butthurt I didn't get all 10 at once.
Well, Big Thunder Mountain might be part of the trains and monorails thing.
Yes, trains, trams, and monorails. That makes sense. Hall of Presidents, obviously, you can have a few things.
Yeah.
It's a Small World. We'll get some more Rolly Crump in there.
Oh, that'll yeah.
be cool. Disneyland Hotel will probably lead into the Contemporary Resort on that one.
Yeah. Because
they do definitely show the Contemporary in the intro. And then the castles. I mean, hopefully we'll get some of the new Hong Kong castle, which I know they're building more as a facade, but it's supposed to have parts of all the castles.
It's supposed to yeah. And I'm just going to, it's going to be so nice seeing.
Fairy tale castle.
Something like that. Yeah. It's going to be so nice seeing a lot of the old Disneyland hotel stuff I grew up with. Before we end on this, like I just kind of mentioned, I loved how they showed like the Tron roller coaster.
Yes, and that's part of Space Mountain, right?
Yeah, well, it's right next to Space Mountain.
But it was part of the Space Mountain episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because they showed the part where they're talking about like, oh, we should have it go outside. No, we shouldn't have it go outside. But it does have a part where it goes outside, mm-hmm. and it kind of goes back to the original sketch of Space Mountain where the track came outside.
The evolution, so,
exactly.
Full circle.
So I thought that was really cool. Yeah, this was a great, great first half of this series. I hope it's something that lasts even longer than the next five episodes. They could do so much more from the mountains, you know. I don't know. They could do a lot.
What do you think?
Yes, let us. Are you asking me or the listeners?
No, I was asking the listeners. Tell us what you think. Get on all those socials. I'm sure you know. Well, there will be an episode post. Yes. But would love to hear if you have an attraction that you wish they'd do an episode on. You'd love to hear more of the backstory.
The restaurants.
The restaurants. That would be
food.
One. What are you thinking? Yeah. Is that for you? What I think.
I think the mountains.
The mountains would. They've already covered space. I could see them doing Splash, especially if and when after this refurb ever takes place.
I got something real quick. I want to see, and we've talked about yesteryear. We've talked about Disneyland Graveyard, mm-hmm. stuff that's not around anymore, or even stuff.
People Mover probably. Well, People Mover, Trains episode,
Country
too.
Bear. In Disneyland, at least, yeah. America Sings. I mean, where they've recycled mm-hmm. to different attractions would be really sweet too, and even a what never made it off the what made off the concept. Because I know there was a time
the Western River Expedition. I brought that up earlier.
Yeah, that.
But I forget what it was I was watching, but it talked about how parts of that initial ride. Concept are incorporated into mm-hmm. I think four different rides at Epcot or at Disney World,
and even like the old Disney's America Park.
Yes,
a bunch of that is in Disney as at DCA. So I mean, I don't know. I'd like to see them kind of dive deep into what never happened. There was the Holiday Land that Walt wanted.
Maybe like the way they did the Making of Frozen 2 documentary, they could do a whole, or I would have hoped they would have done, a full-on documentary from turning Great Movie Ride into Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Yeah, so that transition.
That would have been a cool one. Yeah. A transition, almost like of making the video or behind the scenes.
And that would be a great way to kind
assembled.
Of... assembled. Yeah, no, that'd be a great way to tease Princess and the Frog from Splash Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like after D23, they can do...
Show people the whole process.
Yeah.
Ooh. I mean, we're breaking the fourth wall on all this stuff at this point. I was telling Addy about it earlier. It's kind of something that wrestling has embraced... since the past, they were always big about, you know, keeping the magic, keeping the mystique. But now they've embraced the fact that people are so into this that they want to know more about, you know, the wrestlers' real lives and stuff. Mm-hmm. As Disney fans, we are so into going to the parks and the rides. We want to know how they were made, you know, what people were thinking when they did it, you know, the cool little backstories about how they... I guess quickly, and I know we'll go on forever about this. This will be the last thing I'll say. But in the first episode, the Jungle Cruise one, the story about the colorblind guy with the bulldozer.
Oh yeah,
you know those cool little anecdotes that you would have never thought of when you're walking down Main Street or riding a ride.
And it kind of shows how lucky we are being so close to the Walt Disney Family Museum, where we could get that. Like if we want to take a Saturday or Sunday and. Go to the city and enjoy some history. So
yeah, I was enjoyed when living in San Francisco. I had a membership there, so
yeah.
I made at least four or five trips over the course of a year. They do try and keep a separate exhibit at least changed over twice a year, and I saw quite a few cool ones out there.
Very cool. Yeah, we'll get out there real soon too. But now that like I said, that's it for the first part of Beyond an Attraction. We'll talk about the second half. After it happens, and I'm sure we'll have you back on for that one. So
yes,
but hope you guys like Alex said. Once this show posts, let us know what you would like to see as an episode of Beyond the Attraction, and
or any of your favorite parts of the episodes.
Exactly.
If we didn't mention all the parts already,
there's so much to enjoy.
I know we didn't mention all the parts already.
Oh, I know.
we'd be doing this for 5 hours.
Exactly. Because, there's about 45
minute episodes, yeah.
But let us know. But now we're going to transition over to Alex's trip report. Like you guys, like I said before we recorded, you guys literally got off the freeway.
I can still smell the churro on my shorts.
Nice. So, show's yours, sir. I mean, I don't know if you want me to. This is your first trip back since.
First trip back since early 2020. We were lucky to get to ride Rise of the Resistance basically a week after it had opened. And then did not get to get back. We had annual passes. We were trying to get back in February and March, and you know the world happened. So this was our first chance to get back. We were going through a move. So you know when the park opened, I had kept saying, I said, all right, I you know we can't go to Disneyland until we finish buying this house, and we got in the house, and I'm like, all right, I need to get to Disneyland. I need to get that off my head, off my plate, and I do feel genuinely refreshed. I know I am just fresh back today, but as a Disney fan, as we all are, you know, you got to get to your happy place, home. It was great being there. We were there for 3 days. And as I mentioned on Friday in the YouTube Live and in a Facebook Live that we did, the occasion for this is we were taking my girlfriend Addie's stepbrother, Chris. He's 13 years old, and it was his first trip to Disneyland. This is something we promised to him back in 2019, 2020. I think it was 2019 because we were supposed to take him in that September trip. He was not able to come at that time. And then 2020 happened, and so this was our first opportunity. He had a blast.
I was going to ask, because no knowledge of Disney, no real knowledge of Star Wars or Marvel. So
we didn't get a chance to get any movies into him. I think he said he recognized a couple movies like Incredibles and things that he might have caught on the TV or something at some point. And we had gotten through like 45 minutes of Star Wars the last time we were with him. He's big on the Jawas.
Nice.
Houdini. Watini. But Chris had a great time. I think I'm very glad we didn't have to wait another 2 years because I don't know how much a 15-year-old would have been into doing that for the first time. But it was good. He was official. He got some ears.
Yeah, you posted that picture. I'm like, good man. Good.
Yes, that was required. His dad wanted to make sure he got some ears.
You're never too old for ears.
You are never too old for ears. And he almost didn't wear them. We're like, no, you put those on because you're not going to wear them outside of the park. You know, so. We all had our ears, had a great time. As I had mentioned, I'm always most looking forward to the food. I got most of the things I wanted to have or try. Only thing I didn't get to get to, they did still have some holdovers from the Food and Wine Festival back at the Garden Grill in California Adventure. And I really wanted to try the pepperoni pizza spring roll, although I could probably imagine what it would have tasted like. But they had that back there with the Impossible Cheeseburger Mac and Cheese, the Pork Belly Banh Mi, and the Barbacoa Street Tacos. Did not have any of those, but if you are going there anytime soon, I don't know when they're going to start changing the menus back, so look out for those now. Another thing that was a holdover from Touch of Disney, and thankfully because, as you know, right now, there are very few sit-down restaurants open and the reservations were very hard to come by because capacities are still not quite 100% in all the places. Tables are a little distanced out. So the Monte Cristo from Blue Bayou and Cafe Orleans was still, you can get a half of it at Smoke Jumpers in Disney California Adventure. So if you were following around on my Instagram, or even if you weren't and are now, I do keep a Disney food highlights on there. So you'll see all the Disney food I've had over the last 3 years and beyond going forward. So I was very excited to get my Monte Cristo fix. I will say we ate at Cochina Cucamonga one of the days, and the Al Pastor taco there might be one of the best Al Pastor tacos I've ever had. I had both the quesabira, and then we split a plate of the Al Pastor, myself and Chris. Addie had the Al Pastor. It was too spicy for her, so I got her extra and another. I had two and two. generally when I go to Disney, I like to eat stuff I can't get anywhere else. But
yeah,
I am very glad we sat down and ate that because those tacos were amazing. The Al Pastor and the quesabira. I'm just getting all over this. I'll try and go in order. So Saturday, we got to the park. It was the Jungle Cruise world premiere. They gave us the little goodie bags with candy, the button, and just kind of a little thank you for coming. I was stoked just to walk in the park. We only had a half day on Saturday because we drove down in the morning, so we arrived at the park around 2. I am a firm or a religious fan follower of a lot of Disney vloggers on YouTube, so I watch a lot of Fresh Baked, Ordinary Adventures, Best Life and Beyond. These guys get there pretty often, especially considering you have to pay for each trip to the park individually now. But they had shown that it doesn't necessarily pay to get there right at 8 a.m. or even earlier anymore, as that's when you're going to experience the biggest crowds going through the gate. Now, I will say, if you are not trying to go on the rides that are having the longer waits, the Indiana Jones, the Space Mountains, things like that. And these are things that we found over Sunday and Monday when we did arrive at 8 a.m. or earlier. These rides, you're going to get 5-minute waits on, you know, Snow White and Teacups and Alice in Wonderland. So we were able to get on quite a few rides early, but not as many as maybe in the past when fast passes were still a thing. And when we arrived on Saturday at 2, there was no wait at security, no wait to get through the gate. And the wait times for rides weren't much different than they are an hour after opening. So I'm not saying don't get there at Rope Drop, because if you're paying for a ticket to Disneyland, why not go for as much of it as you can? But do expect to see big crowds there in the morning. You're not the only one who knows you got to get there early anymore.
So what did you think of Snow White's Magical Wish?
Snow White's Magical Wish was nice. We hit that in the afternoon yesterday, on Monday, I believe. It was very short wait. The additions were cool. You know, they've done a lot with projection mapping, as they have with a lot of the rides in the last couple of years. I like the little dopey scene that I believe is in the Mine Train ride in Florida. I don't know. I mean, it kind of breaks me up a little bit to see them change older things just for the history fact. Like when I'm going through, I'm like, that's 55 years old in there or something, you know. But the addition, it's a Disney dark ride. There's not a huge continuous story other than the story we already know of Snow White. If anything, it is not a scary adventure anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I kind of miss the room that had like the dark trees that you go through and the alligator that looks like a log or the log that looks like an alligator. I'm not sure which is which. But I enjoyed that part. It's not worse. They definitely plused it.
I've said I'd rather them do this than like replace Snow White with like
Tangled or something.
Yeah, as much as I love Tangled and like the newer princess movies, is I think that little courtyard area of Fantasyland should still be the classics.
Yeah, no, I mean I would hate to come back in 20 years and see them get rid of all the classics and have like Tangled and you know, Moana or, you know, but I get that you need to cater to your younger demographic and they do when they can, and more power to them for that. But keep some of the old stuff for us.
Exactly.
And we did get on Mr. Toad. I love Mr. Toad. That's a opening day attraction right there. So Saturday we got on a bunch of stuff. I think Star Tours was the first ride we did. That was Chris's first ride in the park. He liked that and Thunder Mountain.
Nice.
That was his first roller coaster there. Those were the only two rides we rode twice. I think we rode Haunted Mansion twice as well, which was part of the whole impetus for this trip, in that I really wanted to see the original Haunted Mansion before they switched it into Haunted Mansion Holiday. I know Ryan feels me on this.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
One of those things, if you hit the park between August and February, basically, you're not getting the original Haunted Mansion because it's either transitioning to Haunted Mansion Holiday, transitioning out of Haunted Mansion Holiday, or is Haunted Mansion Holiday as it runs from Halloween time through Christmas time, appropriately, because Nightmare Before Christmas is appropriate for both those holidays. And it's a great ride. It's just every time we go, it happens to fall between those months.
Or if you're there the March right before COVID hits, or right when COVID hits, it was being refurbished, so it was closed anyways.
That's right. And the spider's gone. They did manage to put new glass in through the top of the building. And I guess that's one of the things I would have... a part of the park being closed is, you know, being a fan of Fresh Baked and channels like that that go to the park very often, you get to get those kind of construction updates. And I highly doubt they would have been lowering a giant piece of glass into the building during park hours, but it would have been cool to, and maybe we will some point on a Imagineering Story 2 or another Beyond the Attraction, see what that would have looked like. But for all of us who've been through the Haunted Mansion and, you know, kind of know the secrets there, the glass, when you're going through the ballroom, it's such a large piece of glass that there was no way for them to replace it without opening the building up and lowering a new piece of glass.
Yeah.
And I guess for those who don't know, there was a spider sticker on part of the glass because I guess it's the rumor, urban legend, whatever. At some point, someone was on the ride, potentially with a PTSD or something, and shot through the glass. And there was no way for them to replace the glass. So they put a sticker, a spider sticker on it to cover it up. And that was there for years. I don't know when it got there, but I know when was pointed out to me, that was... something I noticed every time on the ride. Everything does look a little clearer in there, which is really cool. As far as the ghosts and the ballroom and things. I'm glad to get on that one two times. The food was my favorite. We ate at Refreshment Corner. I had my bacon mac and cheese hot dog. I got my Monte Cristo, I mentioned. I really was excited over at DCA for the carne asada film strip fries.
That's right.
At Award Wieners. And this was something that was added to the menu, I believe, just in the beginning of 2020. Because I feel like if they were there when we were there in December of 2019, I would have had them. But I did not get a chance to get those. I did get them on this trip, and they were also amazing. I had those as a meal while the folks I was with had food from Lucky Fortune Cookery. Addie had the ramen, and Chris had the beef bulgogi burrito. Both, they said, were really good as well.
I'm definitely going to have to try those fries, probably without guac because I don't like guac, but they looked amazing still.
I don't really like guac either, but I just kind of...
Scooped it out?
No, I just kind of spread it all around. It was like... When in Rome, you know, part of the thing. It wasn't a huge amount of it, and there was enough of the salsa and cheese and a good amount of carne asada. I was kind of impressed because I'd seen some other things. Like I saw a portion of the brisket mac and cheese at Smoke Jumpers, and it was just kind of like almost a tasting portion.
It was pretty small. It was good, but it was pretty small.
That was another thing about the Monte Cristo over there. So if you do happen to get a reservation at Cafe Orleans, they have changed the Monte Cristo, which I believe rings at $20.99 on their menu, from the four pieces you're used to now just being a half with the pommes frites, which we did always get the pommes frites anyway, but we'd both get a bowl of gumbo, get the Monte Cristo, split it, and pommes frites and split it. Basically I'm saying if you want that full Monte Cristo, better go and get it in California Adventure, where you can get the half for $10 and thus two halves for $20.
Yeah.
Whereas Cafe Orleans, you're going to get half of it with fries.
So I guess I'm going to kind of go to the big question. Avengers Campus. What was your guys' opinion?
I mean, it was pretty busy. I enjoyed it. I was looking around. We did get into Web Slingers. Participating in the virtual queue, we didn't get on every time, but I feel like had we been as diligently on our phone and ready, we would have, as you and Ryan did, go 2 for 2 and get boarding groups both days. But I enjoyed Avengers Campus. I enjoyed Web Slingers. I thought it was really cool. As I mentioned before, knowing their plan going into the campus as there being another e-ticket attraction, Web Slingers is a fun attraction. It is basically Toy Story Mania 2.0, but I was very impressed with the accuracy of the motion capture technology.
Yeah, and how quick it is too.
It's very quick. I was almost, it was almost that I was slowed down in the ride because I was so awestruck with seeing webbing shoot out of my arm and hit something. So that was really cool. I'm not a huge, I'm not a comic book reader by any stretch, but I know a little bit about other little things, and seeing there were a lot of Easter eggs from kind of deep cuts, if you will. I believe America Chavez is a comic, and like, I think she has a locker in the Worldwide Engineering Brigade, the ride queue and building for Web Slingers. I can't remember the name of the girl, something in Devil Dinosaur, but her character's in there. You've got the Miles Morales mural on the front of the building, which automatically the multiverse is real in Avengers Campus. So
yeah.
Seeing the characters, we did see Variant Loki, or not Variant Loki, but whatever the most recent episode, kind of, I was calling him Insurance Broker Loki, because he's just kind of the button-up shirt and the tie. Who else did we see? We saw Thor. I did see the Stunt-tronic, as they're calling it, of Spider-Man. Yeah. Didn't catch any of the other shows. We did eat. I had the not-so-little chicken sandwich, which was very tasty.
Yeah.
But the bun thing, it's just awkward. It's hard to eat.
Yeah.
But everything on it was good. The slaw was good. The sauce was good. It's almost like I would come and order it again and bring more bread just so I'd be able to hold it, or maybe ask to order an extra small bun.
I tried to take a picture. It was just too hard to take a picture holding it like a sandwich. But
and then we got the beer taster from Pim Tasting Lab, as you did. I actually liked the Pog Hard Seltzer. I shot it, but it was very tasty. The marshmallow chocolate stout was my least favorite.
Wow, okay.
It was just real heavy on the vanilla flavoring. And flavoring, it seemed very artificial. But it's just beer. Overall, the theming, everything is great in there. It is a small land, but you know, it is what it is for the space they took.
But they have that good little extended Avengers Campus.
Oh yeah, it's the Hollywood Land area, which we did take a bunch of photos at their photo ops out there, and of course that extends all the way to Stage 17, which has become an Avengers store. And I thought it was really cool. Some of the higher end items in there reminded me of like going through, you know, World of Disney or the Emporium, where they have those cool figurines, like the real nice, like $200 figurines. And they had a lot of those of Marvel characters, which I had never seen in the parks before.
So the $7,000 Iron Man.
Yes. The full on. I love that they call that a collectible. Like, you would have multiples of them, or multiple people. I mean, that's a big, you know, and I know Galaxy's Edge has like a full R2. Stormtrooper uniform and R2 and stuff like that. So, I guess I look forward to a day when you can walk through Avengers Campus and kind of just take time to look at the little details without the crowds. But I'm just glad it's there. Everything, you know, it's just a cool new addition to California Adventure. I like the backstory of it being the old Stark Motors facility.
Yeah.
I mean, again, Imagineering hit it out of the park. Everything's cool. If anything, they need to add more to the background sound loop, the music, because that whole kind of Avengers theme gets stuck in your head after a while. It's the next biggest earworm behind It's a Small World.
Exactly. And they can, I mean, there's so many different movie scores that they can add to it, and even from the TV shows now.
It's almost like it's its own new score for the land, but it incorporates, because I feel it goes to the part kind of from Black Panther, and then you get the Avengers. And I'm sure there's probably
Spider-Man theme, of course.
Spider-Man theme in there. And, you know, they turn it down when the Spider-Man show's going on. Didn't get to see the Doctor Strange part, but would like to, especially at night in the future. Yeah, the first time we went through there was at night, and the lights and stuff do make it really pop, especially that angle from Pym Test Kitchen, looking at the Quinjet and the Collector's Fortress.
Yes.
So
no, I think they did a great job. And like we talked about the Stark Motors. It's like I really appreciate more when, especially on like a new land, but when they make something look old more than something futuristic. Like you see that a lot in Cars Land, like the really old beat down stuff that are purposely supposed to be like that. Then that section of the old 1940s motor building, even though they put the new lab part just on the side of it, but the way they combine it is really cool.
Well, and segues too, because there is the path from Avengers Campus into Cars Land, and of course Stark Motors, Cars Land. As you walk from Luigi's towards Avengers Campus, you see little billboards for the old Stark Motors cars, and so it's, you know, Imagineering still doing that stuff they do where they blend one land into the next.
And I didn't really go that way, so I gotta try that next time.
When we did rope drop at DCA, that was, you figured on one end they had a rope going down Hollywood Boulevard towards Guardians, and the other end, it's the one going up towards Cars Land.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at the map, and I was like, I feel like where they have us, because they had us stanchioned off by Animation Building, Animation Academy. I was like, I feel like if we cut this way, most of these people are going to be going to Guardians. So we'll kind of have free reign, and we might be able to get ahead of the people going to Radiator Spring Racers. We didn't get ahead of everyone, but we did get pretty far up. Unfortunately, they had not yet opened the ride. We did wait because I knew it was going to be a long wait for the ride any time later in the day, and we ended up getting on it within a half hour. So that's cool.
Did they still have the one entrance in, and or do they kind of...
For Rope Drop?
Or for Avengers Campus? Or could you go in through...
No, yeah, there's three entrances. Because you could either come from like where Guardians is, so from Hollywood Land.
Yeah.
You can come from Cars Land, right by where Luigi's are. Or you can come from the main parade
route. Okay. Yeah, because they only had the one way in, but then the other way's out.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, you were there, what, a week and a half after
Weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks, a week and a half. So,
yeah, it's pretty casual. You can walk in, walk out. We didn't have any trouble getting food. We did place an order a little earlier. But like as far as Pym Tasting Lab, they had people walking up. It was a little bit of a queue for the walk up. We used mobile order whenever we could.
Yeah.
And I would recommend doing that at least until they have more lines for standby, because in most cases there's like one standby line to like three mobile order spaces. So they're really encouraging people to use this to the extent where maybe they'll, cause I mean, even I'm pretty sure at the ballparks there, some of them are not accepting cash yet. They're just making you do mobile order or only use credit card, I guess. But
I even noticed kind of side tangent, even going through McDonald's, like when they greet you at the drive through, they're like, will you be using mobile order today? No, I'm in the drive through.
I've used that a few times at Taco Bell. I used it at McDonald's back in the city, too. It's kind of different because you do it, you pull up, and then you tell them you have a mobile order, and then they start making your food. So it's the same as just driving through and ordering your food.
Yeah.
I guess if anything, it's just you're saving that time of looking at the menu and telling them what you want, and you're saving the time on the payment because you just drive through. So in theory, if more people do that, it'll make everything go faster.
I guess. So, anything else?
I mean, as with any Disney trip, of course, we're planning our next while we're on a current.
Of course.
And as we said, we are planning to go to Oogie Boogie Bash in September. So, we're excited for that. I know for you and I, we'll just be there for the day. But Addie and her sister, Casey, will be taking Casey's daughter, Addie's niece. And then stepbrother Chris will be, I believe, coming back for his second trip.
Nice.
Along with their father. And they will all do Disneyland on Saturday and then be doing Oogie Boogie Bash with us on Sunday.
the 19th of September, which is still available on that day.
So if you haven't got tickets and are on the fence, jump over and join us at the Oogie Boogie Bash, because it's going to be fun on this side of the fence over here. But if you can't, totally understood. I know DU will be doing all kinds of great coverage. I'll be there. I will, one more thing, I'll say where I stayed on the trip. We stayed at the Suncoast Park Inn, which is a Hilton property. It's just over on Clementine off of Disney Way. So just, you know, up the street from the Garden Walk behind the Eeyore parking lot. We had stayed there last October when we visited Downtown Disney during the shutdown. Really enjoyed this hotel. We had a nice room, you know, with a king bed, and then like a separate living area with the couch bed for Chris. They do keep their pool and hot tub open till midnight. So in this particular instance, with the park closing at 10, it was great to be able to get back to the hotel and still take a dip, you know, rest your feet in the hot tub.
Yes.
Pretty cracking out there as everyone had the similar idea.
Was it drowning them barking dogs?
Oh yeah, man. If you saw, we logged over 40 miles in 3 days. Of course, between walking around the parks, the distance from the hotel to the park, which was about a 10 to 12 minute walk. For those who don't know, right now they're not running the tram from the parking lot. And I don't think it's quite that long, but you do still have a pretty good walk from the parking lot to the park. So I figured, might as well just walk from the hotel.
Yeah. I've joked around people, our locals. They're like, oh, got to walk so far from the parking structure.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
welcome to my world.
I'm like, that used to be KOA, campground. And we used to do that all the time.
Yes. Yeah, I usually stay at Four Points Anaheim, formerly Hotel Minaj. It's a hotel on the corner of Harbor and Ball, just over the freeway. For those who haven't been there, they do still have a 24-hour pool and hot tub, which is the main reason why I stay at that one. So you see where my priorities lie is getting those old dogs some rest and relaxation after those long, many mile long walking park days. I did not get in park shape as I had wanted to before this trip. But I guess if anything, I the legs are ready to be in better park shape when we return in September.
Nice. And before we end this, we kind of teased it earlier. Before the beyond the attraction, but you got a special pair of ears yourself.
I did. That's right. I got. So they've been doing the Disney Parks Designer Collection limited release ears. I don't know how limited, as it didn't say on the card here. But Dwayne, our buddy DJ, Dwayne the Rock Johnson, came out with his own set of ears, and it is a skipper hat. It's got a cool Jungle Navigation Company patch on the back. It says Disney's Jungle Cruise on the side. And then, it's a cool skipper hat, throwing it on. You will see some pictures of me in this when we go to the movie this week. I have not spent this much on ears before. And the reason, I'll shout out my friend Jason, who he had hit me up asking if I was in the park. He showed me a picture of the ears and asked if I could pick some up for him. And I recognized from the picture that they were in the Disney Anna shop right there on in Town Square, I think. And I happened to have just gotten off the train and was standing right in front of Disney Anna. I had saw on Instagram earlier in the day that these ears sold out within minutes on Shop Disney. So I went in and asked if they had them, and he said, and you can get them. And he explained to me that they had only given a few pairs to the Disney dress shop in Downtown Disney and a few pairs to the bazaar right across from Jungle Cruise, yet they had a bunch of them at Disney Anna. So I don't know how
many. That's bizarre.
That is bizarre. We expect nothing less from the Jungle Cruise.
Yeah, they look super awesome. Even the card that they came with was pretty classy too. So.
Yeah, but it's the card says certificate of verification designed by Dwayne Johnson for Disney Parks, limited release. And I presume they're probably selling a few of them out there in Florida as well. And,
yeah.
And who knows, maybe at the other Jungle Cruise parks around the globe. So if you happen to see these Jungle Cruise ears or happen to get some yourself, let us know. Snap a picture and tag at Disney Universe Podcast.
Yes.
On any of your socials so we can see you in your Jungle Cruise ears. And, of course, as we will be telling you, let us know what you think of the movie, if you're going to the movie. If you have horrible problems with them doing this movie, or any of the updates on the ride, I had a blast going to the parks. I had a blast talking with you on YouTube last Friday and yeah. today about my time in the parks, as always, having me on for the Muppet Show and talking about Alani. I love talking Disney. So thank you for having me and Ryan and Christy, get back soon and hope that we can all get down in Disney Roundtable at some point.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for filling in on such a short notice. And, like, again, after I've done that drive back many a times.
Oh, yeah.
I call it the long, straight, nothing of I-5.
It is. But you gave me something to look forward to.
Very cool.
I was leaving Disney, but I got to come home and talk about Disney.
And you know it, man. You are family, so you always got a open mic here. So, thanks for that great trip report. Cannot wait for our trip in September for the Oogie Boogie Bash. It'll be a lot of fun footage we'll be capturing. And thanks for talking about Beyond the Attraction. That's something we were super excited for. And I know I kind of mentioned, like, oh, there's so much more we could have talked about. And when you're talking about the Jungle Cruise, I just thought of another one. Was, I think it was Hong Kong or Tokyo, but it goes clockwise. Or... It goes the opposite way that...
Clockwise, because ours goes counterclockwise.
So it's just funny seeing the in different ways, but I don't know. It's super cool.
That would trip me out if I was boarding it. Yeah.
Exactly. But thank you, Alex, for coming on the show. And on YouTube, that was a lot of fun also. And coming up next episode, not exactly sure, but we will be talking about something either Disney, Star Wars, Marvel, Pixar, but we are going to get ready to start planning our second annual fantasy football.
DU.
Not football.
Fantasy the DU. Parks. Fantasy Parks Draft.
Yes, where you'll be looking to defend your crown here.
I'm bringing the heat. I'm ready. I guess we'll have to decide the draft order. I would assume I would be last as the reigning champion, but of course we will work that out based on who returns. We hope everyone who participated last year can come back. We will definitely be adding a couple of slots, probably be adding another park or property of things to draft from. But if you're not familiar, make sure you go back and check out that episode and hear about what we did. If you are familiar with fantasy sports, fantasy football, and know how drafts work, and you're familiar with the Disney parks, you could probably figure it out pretty quickly. But it's just fun sitting around with a bunch of like-minded Disney parks fans and picking out our favorite attractions and then looking and seeing, you know, which ones you think are the most popular, which ones are going to go first, which ones go later.
Then which ones get voted. So it'll be a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun last time, so... cannot wait to do that. And it'll be probably, if it's not the next episode, it will definitely be the one after.
Sometime in August.
So, yeah, it'll be one of the August episodes. So, thank you guys for listening. Once again, you can, if you're new to the show, you can subscribe on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. Definitely check us out on Disney Universe TV on YouTube. We're doing a little raffle that I haven't been plugging recently, but... we're at about 58, 59 followers, and once we get to 100, that kind of gets us where we can actually put DUTV at, you know, as an address rather than a bunch of letters and numbers.
Okay.
So, but once we hit that, we'll be doing a special giveaway. I mentioned it, I think, on our last episode or one of our recent streams, but we're going to give away your choice of a certain movie. I will actually do a plug-in. And then I changed it to 3 movies.
I did. I heard that.
Yeah.
You did.
But I think I think I was even going to make it into 3, depending on how quick we get it. If we get to 100 before our 100th episode, But I will do a post after this one comes out to let you know which movies you could get, because I forgot which ones right now. I think there's Blu-rays of Mary Poppins Returns. There's a 3-pack of Little Mermaid, Moana, and Tangled.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. A 4K version of Endgame, 4K version of Soul, 4K version of Raya and the Last Dragon, and I forgot to cancel, so I think I got another one in the mail. I haven't opened up yet, so hey, I'll have to check it out. But once I open it up, then I'll do the post. But yeah, the winner will get their choice of one, two of those, or if we hit 100 before 100, then you get 3. But more details on that.
So spread the word. Get on YouTube.
Yes.
I know I'm following already. I got it right up there with, you know, Tim Tracker and Fresh Baked. I'm following Disney Universe TV. Got some ride-through videos on there. All the previous lives are on there, so you can watch me pre-talk about my trip, and then now you've already heard me talk about my trip, and look forward to future trips. You'll be seeing Oogie Boogie Bash on there,
yes,
I'm sure.
Yes, definitely. And some, I think Ryan's getting some more hot toys, so some unboxing videos will be coming back. So, and I think he's working on a few things. So definitely subscribe and hit that bell, and you'll be notified when new content comes up, which we are working on. So also want to thank our DU crew members, Mike, Superfan Sasquatch, Superfan Jen, Alfredo, and Discord Apparel. Could not do the show without you guys. So thank you guys for listening. We'll be back in a few weeks. I think I'm going to take a week off for our Friday Night Live, because I think we're going to a laser light show on Friday.
Yes.
So, and which shouldn't matter, because I think this episode will be out on Saturday. So never mind. But I'll post about that anyways in case you're checking it out after we're going live. So I guess until next time.
Ka-chow! Episode 95.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. I will say, may the force be with you.
And also with you. Oh, to infinity and beyond.